Like the previous prakim in Pirkei Avos, he has quite a bit. Our Rebbe has quite a bit of Torah here for us to learn. Okay, so let's start with a big question. Let's start with a big Mishnah with a big question. Mishnah teaches us, Ba'asara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam. Mishnah says that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world with 10 ma'amaros, with 10 expressions of speech. Right? It's really 9 vayomers, the Gemara says, vayomer this, vayomer that, plus the word bereshis also is an expression of speech. So there were 10 ma'amaros, 10 utterances by which Hashem created the world. So the Mishnah, almost reading like a Gemara, says, why did Hashem have to create the world in 10 statements? Why couldn't Hashem create the world in one statement? Hashem could have made the world in a single breath, in one word, in one statement. Why did Hashem bother to say, Vayomer this, Vayomer that? Ela kedei litein tzchar tov letzadikim. Says in the Mishnah, in order to bring punishment upon the wicked, who damage a world that Hashem, quote unquote, worked harder to make with 10 expressions of speech, and to give greater reward to the tzadikim, who uphold the world which Hashem created with 10 utterances, with 10 expressions of speech. So explains the Kashas Ramagid, I don't really understand this Mishnah. L'chora ha'inyan tamua. This matter is very strange to us. Why is it strange to us? Hayitochein sheyivra olam kedei lihipara. The Mishnah says that Hashem created the world with 10 utterances to reward the tzaddikim and to punish the wicked. That when the wicked do bad, it'll make it worse for them. It'll make it look like not only did you destroy Hashem's world, which Hashem made with one expression, but you damaged Hashem's world, which Hashem worked hard to create with 10 expressions. That's what Hashem wants. That's the tachlis. Hashem made the world kedei lihipara in order to extract punishment, to punish the bad guys. That's the tachlis of creation. Vegam, and furthermore, Kevan Shahaya Yachol Libaros B'Maim Re'echad. When the Mishnah acknowledges that Hashem could have created the world with one statement, Im Kain Mashanivra Ba'asar Ma'amaros Ein Za'iloi. Knowing that Hashem could do it in one move, so the fact that Hashem pretended to drag out the process through 10 different steps, well, what does that even mean? Right? Meaning, why should that even be significant? If Hashem could only create the world in 10 steps, so then 10 is a significant thing. But if we acknowledge that Hashem could have made it in one step, so what significance is there to the fact that Hashem chose to make it with 10 expressions? And again, why would Hashem do that as a means of punishing, as a means of rewarding? Hashem can reward and punish in accordance with a person's actions. So what's going on here? So, Chevra, there's obviously a very deep sugi here. And again, when I say deep, you know, when we talk about the Kashrut or Magid, deep could mean like Kabbalistic deep, or it can mean philosophically deep. This is philosophically deep. Rather, what's being hinted to, what's being taught to us here, the derech, that the Tana is being meramis to, is the kushya hagadola, the big question. Chava, what's the big question? Heich yisoar zos sha'abore yisbarach yivra olamo uvrios bo yivatsru midaito hapashut umiratzono hatov. How could it be, how is it possible to imagine that Hashem created a world, and the world came from what? From His dato hapashut, from Hashem's simple, singular way of thinking, from His ratzon hatov. How is it possible that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created each and every detail of creation, how could it be that achar kach yimotze ba'olam rishaim v'kofrim bo yisbarach? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu created everything, if it's Hashem's imprint, if His hand is sort of on top of it all, so how does it ever get to a point that there's wickedness in the world, that there are those who deny Hashem? How could you deny your own truth? How could you deny reality? If it really came from a singular source, from the Ratzon HaPashut, from the singular mind, as it were, of Hashem, so how does it disintegrate to a point that there could be evil, or there could be deniers of Hashem in this world? V'lama bara kol eila ha-sitra achar v'ataivos nuchra'in. And let's say it differently. Even if we could figure out how it could be, why would Hashem allow it to be? Why would Hashem allow a world to be filled with a sitra achra? Why would Hashem allow the world to be filled with ta'avos nuchra'in, with all sorts of strange desires? Why does He let that happen? V'zeo omro, and that's what the Mishnah is asking when it says, V'halo b'maymer echad yochol lihibaros. Hashem could have guided the world in a singular direction. Hashem could have made everyone Jewish. Hashem could have filled every heart with an ability to only do good. Ratzo lomar ki koach ha'pol benifal. Because the energy and the efforts of the molder, the maker, the shaper, is found within the created being. So Hashem could have forced us down a particular path, which would have made for a much sweeter, more wholesome, holier world. Ukefi koach ha'pol shu achdis pashut. And therefore, if the poel, if the creator, is of one nature, Hashem is echad, so then seemingly it should be of necessity that anyone who's created, anyone who comes from that source, should always what? Should always look towards yistakel, to look towards v'yishtokek. No, what's yishtokek? To have like a longing to connect to its shoresh. V'yavinu la'achrisam Hashem yisham nechzavu, to be able to understand, where do I come from? Where am I going? To be able to serve only Hashem and to not serve anything else. So why did Hashem make it that it's possible to be a Rasha? Why is it that I feel that Hashem, you gave me my taivos, you gave me my desires. You're the one who made the world this way. It's not, I can't take the full blame upon myself. Right? You made it, you know, too easy. Or you made it possible for a world to be filled with all sorts of things that are against your will. So why did you do that? But however, you know the answer. And that's what this Mishnah is highlighting. As it grapples with the question of free will. That's what this Mishnah is really grappling with. The answer, of course, to the question, Achateretzu, De'im Kain, the answer is that if it were to be so, that Hashem was to impose His will upon the world without any room for us to choose, Lo hayaschar va'onesh, then there wouldn't be reward and punishment. Then nothing would be meaningful. Because then our world would be no different than the world of the angels, where there is no schar and onesh. Why? Because they don't have a yetzahara. And exactly like we're presenting, the angels are able to see, to constantly look to the grandeur and the oneness of Hashem. And they can't have an off day. Because they're forced by their circumstance to what? To serve Hashem. But Hashem wanted us to be able to choose. And that's a really, really important, challenging gift that Hashem has given us. And it's for this very reason, to give us the ability to choose, to make our efforts meaningful, to create a concept of schar and onesh, which is a fundamental of Torah, that could only be, and as an expression of that, Hashem created the Olam HaTachton, Hashem created a Yetzer Hara, Hashem created a Sitra Achra, Hashem created Kochos HaTuma, all of these things, is kedei lahavchin b'yisron ha'or min achoshech, is to create that possibility of comparing light and dark and light, and to be able to choose. The Rishaim who choose to live a life of darkness, and the Tzadikim who overcome that darkness and choose to bask in the light, who choose to live a life of making those hard choices, but to be able to be rewarded as such. And of course, when the Mishnah says Hashem made the world complicated to increase the reward, that is true. Hashem made the world challenging, but therefore a person who is able to serve Hashem is able to get greater schar. What does it mean that Hashem created it also to punish the wicked? Is that something Hashem likes doing? Hashem enjoys punishing the bad guys. V'shana ha'chacham tevos lihipara. When the Mishnah said that Hashem created the world in 10 utterances, lihipara, which means simply to exact punishment. But what else does the word para mean? What is priya at a bris milah? You do milah, you cut away the foreskin, and then priya. Right? What is priya? Priya is the peeling back or the uncovering of the flesh that is beneath the foreskin. Lihipara is a lashon of giloy, to uncover, to expose. Kumo mol velo para, like the Gemara in Shabbos, Kof Lamed Zayin, talks about a person who does mila but doesn't complete the act with priya. So what does it mean, lihi para min harasham, to expose, to uncover the Rasham? Shememaisa Rasham is galalitin schar tov letzadikim. It's not that Hashem wants to punish the Rasham, but Hashem gave us a world where we can choose. And through the choices that the Rasham make, it clarifies, it reveals the significance of the choices that tzaddikim make. And therefore tzaddikim can be rewarded even more so. Chava, the fact that you have a right to choose, and when you make a good choice, Hashem says, oh, you didn't have to do that. And I'll prove to you didn't have to do it, because that one didn't do it. And that one didn't do it. And that one, and most people didn't do it. And you chose to do it. You chose to keep Shabbos. You chose to keep kosher. You chose to guard your eyes. You chose not to speak Lashon Hara. You chose to make a bracha before you drink your coffee. You made all these choices, and therefore you need to be rewarded. It's not that Hashem enjoys, it's not that Hashem wants to punish the Rasham. But that free will is something that Hashem presents to the world, and the choices that the Rasham make reveal, they expose or they reveal the significance of the choices that tzaddikim make. V'zeh, and that's what it means when the Mishnah says, V'halo b'maimer echad, b'milas bereshis yachol libaros. Hashem could have made the whole world with one word, the first word of the Torah, bereshis. You'll say, that doesn't, bereshis is not a ma'amar. Bereshis is not vayomer. But the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah, right, that the Vayomer de Bereshis Tisha Havin. The Gemara says there's only 9 Vayomers in the beginning of the Torah, to which the Gemara answers, Metaritz Bereshis Nami Ma'amarho, that the very word Bereshis is considered an expression of speech. So when the Mishnah says you could have created the whole world with one utterance, which one? Vayomer Elokim Yehior? Which one? No, the first word. Hashem could have created the whole world by just saying Bereshis. Shekein Bereshis Lashon Areshes Sifasenu. Bereshis, of course, means in the beginning of, but it's also a Lashon of Areshes Sifasenu, the expressions of our lips. Bereshis is an expression of speech. So the Mishnah wonders, the Shakal Vatari of the Mishnah, Umatmiya, the Mishnah questions and wonders, V'chi b'shvil zeh tzarech livro ve'eser. Why did you make the world with 10? V'halo b'shagam b'maymer echad, yu harasham ru'uyin la'onesh. If Hashem would have just created the world with Bereshis, that would have been enough to give the Rasham the ability to choose and in turn to be punished. And tzaddikim could have received reward. Why did Hashem need to make a world with 10 different expressions? What is the role of those expressions? When God says, and the Lord said, let there be a rakia, let there be a firmament, let there be a sky, why? Explains very beautifully. Listen to this. He says, because the word Bereshis still reveals too much to us. The word Bereshis doesn't hide Hashem enough from us. It's still too easy. A world that would have been just from the word Bereshis would have been too easy. Avnam balo de'echad more letachlis ha'achdus ha'poshut ba'ava v'yira. Why couldn't Hashem create the world with one thing? Because that's the whole point. The point is that we have to live in a world where it looks like there's many things, and we have to try to see Echad, 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 Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. But our eyes have to tell us otherwise. Our eyes have to tell us that what? That the world is made up of many things. Right? The concept of 10 maybe represents that the world is made up of many different things. Right? Not just the ones column, but the tens column. Right? The world is made up of many components, or so it appears to our eyes. If the world would have just been created with the word Bereshis, so we would have understood right away that the world is what? That the world has a singular mission, a singular vision. There would have been an Achdus HaPashut, Ba'ava V'yira. There would have been a singular expression of love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. After all, he says, the word Bereshis, B'mem Kuf. What is B'mem Kuf? Yehuda Kolton mentioned this concept the other day. Mispar Katan. Chaver, you know what Mispar Katan is? Mispar Katan is that you take every letter and you bring it down to the ones column. So a Beis, which is 2, remains 2. A Reish, which is 200, is a 2. Aleph is a 1. Shin, which is 300, is a 3. 10, right, is a 1. 400, tough, is a 4. So Bereshis, if you bring it down to its lowest, lowest level, so to speak, Mispar Katan, If you take a 400, you turn it into a 4. And you take, you know, if you had a 60, you turn it into a 6. If you bring every letter down to its root, so Bereshis in Mispar Katan is Gematria 13. You see that? Bez is 2, Resh is 2, Aleph is 1, 300, Shin is 3, 10 is 1, and 400 is 4. So 2, 2, 1, 3, 1, 4 is Gematria Echad, is 13. Is the Gematria of Echad. Is the Gematria of Ahava, 13. If Hashem would have created the world with just Bereshis, the oneness would have been shining through. The love of Hashem for us would have been revealed in a way that was too easy. And furthermore, he says that the word Bereshis contains the words Yiras. The Avas Hashem would have been poking its head through. The Yiras Hashem would have been poking its head through. The Av and the Yir upon which all mitzvos are founded, that Yusadim Kol HaMitzvos, it would have been too easy. Right? It would have been too easy. It would have been too identifiable to us. V'ilu nivra ha'olam b'zeh ha'maymer l'chud b'vereshis. So if the world would have been created with only the word Bereshis, hayu ha'kol ponim l'achduso, then everyone would turn to the oneness of Hashem. We'd see Hashem. It's like playing hide and seek when you're sticking out, you know? I went to the park the other day. I was playing soccer with Yaakov. So there's a garbage can that we sometimes, like, you know, hide behind to sneak attack the other player, right? So when Yaakov hides behind the garbage can, I can't see him. When I hide behind the garbage can, I'm like sticking out. And he cracks up. He's like, Daddy, I can see you. So if Hashem would have tried to hide behind the word Bereshis, that's not a hiding spot. We see Echad. We see Ava. We see Yira. It's all revealed. Hakol ponim lachduso. V'lo hayashumi yitzahara. There wouldn't be a yitzahara. V'yakol mishtokikin mislatin tamid lavodasa yisbarach shmo b'li b'chira. We all would have been drawn with great passion and excitement to Avodas Hashem without any choice. It would have been too easy. As it says, for example, as the Navi Yecheskel says, Hachayos ratzo v'shov. Right? Hachayos, the Hachayos HaKodesh, the angels are ratzo ba'ava v'shov mi'ira. Moving forward and moving backwards, the way that we shuckle when we daven or when we learn, drawing close and then pulling away. It would have been too easy to identify Hashem. V'im kein hayetzimtzum b'schar. So you might have said, well, so make it too easy. We spoke yesterday about, you know, sometimes setting the bar low and then, you know, that also counts for something. But you have to realize that if the game is too easy, then the reward is also minimized. Im kein hayetzimtzum b'schar. Then the reward for being successful in the game is also diminished. V'Hashem yisbarach ratzel lezakos es Yisrael. And Hashem wants us to be able to what? To have great success. And to be greatly rewarded. L'fichach bar ba'asa ma'amaros b'shisha yamim kol ha'yitzur. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu spent 6 days and 10 utterances creating what appears to be a very complicated and a multifaceted world. L'rameiz b'zeh sh'arashus nesuna l'chol ha'olam la'asos kiritzono v'cheftzo l'hara u'le'itiv b'li shum hechreach. Giving us the ability, giving the world permission. Rishus is nesuna, permission is granted to the whole world to do what you want. You want to do bad, the choice is yours. You want to do good, the choice is yours. B'li shum hechreach. Without any pressure to do one way or another. Now, let's talk about those Vayomers for a second. Because amongst those Vayomers is a Kodesh Baruch Hu creating a lot of separation. Separating light and dark. Separating heaven and earth. Separating lower waters and upper waters. All of those separations, the Kodesh Baruch Hu says so beautifully. Such a beautiful philosophical presentation of the beginning of Chumash Bereshis. To understand how Hashem is setting up a balance of free will which makes life meaningful. Va'al zeh roams in harakiyin. And it's with this in mind that a Kodesh Baruch Hu created what? A rakia above, a divider. Shenemar yihi rakia, that there should be a rakia, v'yihi mavdil, and it should serve to create a buffer zone. Vayas es harakia. All these expressions. Romez al zeh sha'asa rakia v'hevdil bifneihem. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu putting up walls or dividers between us. Va'asa masach ufaras anan l'chasos al kodesh. Hashem set up some type of, again, divider, some barrier, a cloud of sorts to serve to what? To conceal His holiness. Klomar, sheyehe yuchal adam, that it should be possible for a person, lidamos ki'ilu Hashem yisbarach, sar hashkachosu mizeh ha'olam. Hashem wants it to look to the human eye that Hashem has abandoned His hashkacha from the world. That Hashem is not paying attention. va'olam kiminhago nohik. And when tragic things happen, that's just life. Chas v'shalom to say such a thing. To the point that when we do averas, it looks like we're able to push away, like the Gemara says, the feet of Hashem, the raglei shechina. As it says, v'lo od, right? Kedisa, as it says in the Gemara in Kedushin, v'lo od el shomer tein lo makom. Or furthermore, tein li makom. A person could say what? A person could say, give me a space. I have my own space. What do you mean? Hashem is makom. Hashem is all space. No. I pushed Hashem away. I have my own space now. What are you talking about? That's a corrupted perspective, but it's something where we have the ability to choose to see it in the wrong way. That's part of life. That's part of free will. Va'asa, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a masach b'fneim shalo yistaklu lachduso yizbarach shemo. So that divider makes it that we're not able to clearly see the oneness of Hashem. Sheyehei efshar lebrios lomar, that it's possible for us to say, she'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashgiach ba'olam chas v'shalom, that Hashem is not paying attention to the world. Hagam shebe'emes, despite the fact that in truth, einei Hashem mishotetos b'chol ha'aretz, Hashem's eyes are constantly upon the world. Mikol makom nela min abrios. But unfortunately, that's hidden from us. And that's what it means, rakia. Rakia are those moments where I feel that what? That there's a disconnect. Rakia is the same gematria as Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is a place where it feels like Hashem has abandoned us. A meitzar, the bein ha-mitzarim, the 3 weeks. When a Jew feels what? When a Jew feels, bein ha-mitzarim literally means, you know, trapped. When a Jew feels surrounded and trapped by the experience of this world, and I can't free myself from that. I feel disconnected from Hashem. As the Zohar HaKadosh explains, hafoch rakia v'simsa ikar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the rakia and he made it what? Ikar. Same letters. Rakia and ikar have the same letters. Interesting. Shezeu ikar v'tachlis habriya. But the rakia, which sometimes seems to separate us from God, is what is the essence of what life is all about. Because if not for that separation, what good would our choices be? And that's the sof ma'aseh b'machshava tchila. That's the master plan that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has arranged all along. V'ikir haschar va'onesh ba b'emtzos harakia. And chaver, what an amazing line. That you want to have schar in this world, you want to have success in this world. Right? The reason that your bad choices matter, the reason that your good choices matter, it all comes about because of that rakia, which serves as a masach mavdil bein mayim elyonim, between the upper waters, which represents machshavos kedoshos, pure thoughts, litachtonim, with the lower waters, right, our lowliness. Va'bechira le'ish, im la'alos b'mei me'hachesed, dila'el, o milara me'achut shel chesed. And you have to realize that it's coming from a place of what? From a place of kindness, that Hashem is giving us the ability to choose. Do you want to go up? Do you want to go down? And therefore we daven what we say. Hakel haposeach b'chol yom dalsos shari mizrach uvokea chalone rakia. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gives us the ability to what? To pierce through, to breach those walls, to not be put off by that, but to push our way back to Hashem. Mizrach, he says, without the mem, below mem, nase chazar, the ability to be chozer to Hashem. Hashem Yisbarach Hu HaPoseach. Hashem is the one who's opening it. Shebechol Yom Kruzin Nafkin. Because Hashem is calling out to us. A kruz means like a bas call. A voice is calling out. Is reaching out to us. Va'ovir Hashem Hu Machzir Va'bokea. And a person who's paying attention hears that voice of Hashem. And he pushes through that wall. And he comes running back to Hashem. He breaks through. Kiderech Sha'omrim Al Mispal Bekavana. Like we say about a person who davens in a strong and clear way, that he's bokeya chalone rakia. He breaches, he breaks through those walls, those dividers. He opens the windows of the rakia, and he realizes that all of that blockage, again, is just placed before me as a way of making life more meaningful. Okay? So what an amazing explanation. Again, really just fundamentals of what it means to be a Jew. I'm not going to read the end of this piece, but fundamentals of what it means to have free will, the challenge of free will, the difficulty that comes from free will, but also obviously the great opportunity that comes from free will. Okay, let's go to Mishnah Beis. Mishnah says there are 10 generations from Noach to Avraham, and everyone was disappointing Hashem more and more and more and more, until finally Avraham Avinu came along, v'kibel schar kulam. And Avram took the reward. He took all of those opportunities that were lost. Right? Avram Avinu came and he made up for lost time. He scooped up all of those opportunities and he was makabel the schar, the possible reward that all of those other generations could have received had they changed their ways. Haschar hu ha'avoda. The first thing to know is, what does it mean Avram got the reward? He got the schar of all of them. Chaver, what did we say? If you remember, we explained schar mitzvah mitzvah. The greatest reward for a mitzvah is simply the fact that Hashem allows you to do the mitzvah. Yeah, Josh, you can sing it if you want. Go for it. Schar mitzvah mitzvah, yeah? So the reward for a mitzvah is the ability to what? Is the very fact that Hashem gave us the opportunity. So when we say that Avram came and he got the schar of all of them, it means all the opportunities that they didn't choose, Avram says, I'll do those things. And Avram became this awesome Torah personality who said, all that potential, all of those opportunities to serve Hashem, they didn't want them, I'll take them. When Hashem gives you the opportunity to serve Him, and Hashem helps you to have pure thoughts and holy actions, Zehu Hagan Eden Ba'atzmo. Chaver, that is Gan Eden. Gan Eden is not a place that we're trying to go to. Gan Eden is living a life of meaning and purpose, of Kedusha, of Tara. When I think holy thoughts, when I'm learning Torah and I feel connected, that's Gan Eden. When I daven Shmona Esrei and I'm in the presence of Hashem and I feel that in a real way, not like a burden or a chore, that's called Gan Eden. That's being in Gan Eden. V'chein chas v'shalom lehefech. The opposite is also true. When a person feels I'm drowning in machshavos zaros, my mind is all over the place. V'asitra achra, and I'm in the clutches of the sitra achra, and kochos ha-tumah, and the tumah has the upper hand over me. Shenitein la'adam zelu mazeh hu ha-gehenim. That is Gehenim. When I can't take control of my life and I'm doing averas that I don't want to be doing, they make me feel worse. And when I don't have control of my thoughts, and when I feel that I'm not the balabas, and I feel that my life is such a drag, and I wish my life was more meaningful. I wish I could be more into the learning. I wish I could be more into davening. I wish I was more excited about mitzvos. I wish I was looking forward to Shabbos because of the kedusha of Shabbos, not just because I'm tired. When I have all those negative feelings, then I'm living in Gehenim. Gehenim is not something after you die. Then my life is a Gehenim. My life is hell on earth. And when I feel connected, and when I realize that the schar mitzvah mitzvah, so that's the greatest thing in the world. And that's what it means. That's really what it means. That kol Yisrael yesh lam chelek li'olam haba. What does it mean every Jew has a portion in olam haba? Kamo shekasavti le'el, as I explained earlier, shekol neshama hu ma'orav tovera. Every neshama starts off as a mix of tovera. And we have to work through it. U'lechol neshama yesh chelek batorah va'avoda va'oros ha'elyonim ha'muchanim la. And every neshama has what? Has that good potential, that light within, which is ready for him, im teitiv d'racha, if a person chooses to live that way. And if not, I'm also programmed, there's a part of me that is ready to live in the dark. V'im chas v'shalom lo seitiv, if I don't live a life of good choices, az eilu ha'oros ein lehem makom lachol. So if my life is dark, then those lights, so to speak, those spiritual lights within, have no place to manifest themselves. So you know what happens? They go to a place that's already filled with light. Those potential lights within oneself, those spiritual lights within, go and they realign themselves with someone else. Uva meletzade ka'oved es Hashem. Those lights, that potential, that energy, schar mitzvah mitzvah, all of that schar, all of that possibility that the individuals before Avram didn't choose for themselves, Avram just, he kept stockpiling it, he kept collecting it. Uva meletzade goes to the tzaddik who serves Hashem. Vinisgalim a love, umosif is that koch va'oz va'vodos Hashem isbach. Avram takes that potential and he uses it to have greater strength to serve Hashem. You don't want it, I'll take it. Ukamo kein chelek hara shel tzaddik. The tzaddik also has darkness within. The tzaddik also has parts of himself that need to be pushed away. Right? There's parts of our spirit that need to be nourished and emphasized and given greater expression, and there's darkness within that has to be thrown aside. Now, where does it go? You know where it goes? To a person who's collecting darkness. Lo aleinu. Ukamo kein chelek hara shel tzaddik. The bad part of the tzaddik. The parts of Avram that needed to be thrown out. The fact that he was born into a home of idol worshippers and he worshipped idols. That part needs to be thrown away. Hamidacha oso b'shtei yadayim. When Avram Avinu takes that part of himself and pushes it out, right, he throws it away. The Rasha, a wicked person who is rodef tamid achar chemda, solam hazav, v'sitra achar, v'kochas atuma, a person who has become an addict of darkness, and he loves the things of Olam Hazeh, and he loves the Sitra Achra, and he thinks he's collecting Tuma, he's Mekavlim B'Seir Panam Yafo. So he says, I'll trade you. This is Esav trading the Bechorah. You understand? This is Esav saying, I'd rather have a bowl of soup, a couple of minutes of pleasure of this world, eating a bowl of lentil soup, than what? Than to be an Eved Hashem. Esav was a Bechorah. The Bechorah is supposed to be the Kohen. Esav could have been a Kohen Gadol. Esav could have been a big person. And what did he do in the end? He trades it away for a bowl of soup. So Yaakov Avinu says, I'll take the Bechor, and you can have my soup. And that's exactly what happens. Tzadikim are kibel schar kulam. They collect all of that potential. And the Rasha, lo aleinu, the Rasha, unfortunately, because of the way he chooses to live, he's compounding his negativity. He's collecting sitra achra. He's taking all of the negative kochos of the world, and he's stockpiling them. How chaval, how sad. And that's what the Gemara says in Maseches Chagiga. Listen carefully. V'zeh, Masha Amru Chazal. It's a Gemara in Chagiga on Daf Tezvav. Zocha tzadik, noto chelko, v'chelek chaveiro began Eden. If he's zocha, if the tzadik is worthy, he takes not only his portion, but his friend's portion in Gan Eden. This chai of Rasha, when the Rasha is guilty, he takes both his chelek and his friend's chelek in Gehenim. What does that mean? How do you take someone's chelek? What is the chelek of Gan Eden that the Rasha even has? It's that potential. Right? The Rasha, what do you mean? What in Gan Eden? He doesn't have Gan Eden. He could have had Gan Eden though. And he traded it away. Esav could have worked on the parts of the holy parts that were given to him from Yitzchak, from Avraham. He traded it all away. Chaval. The tzaddik says, I'll take your Gan Eden, I'll take your potential. The Rasha says, I'll take your Gehenim. By the way, the Or Gedaliah says, just remembering now, Rav Gedaliah Shor writes in Or Gedaliah that this is really the secret, much more than what Rashi says. This is really the secret of Yaakov Avinu saying what? Anochi Esav Bechorecha. I am Esav, your firstborn. You understand how deep that is? Chav Yechap? What does Rashi say? Rashi says, he's just speaking in a tricky way. He's saying, Anochi, I am who I am, and Esav Bechorecha, and Esav's your firstborn. That's how Yaakov was saying something true, but a little bit deceptive. But according to what we're learning, no. Anochi Esav Bechorecha, I have become Esav, your firstborn. He traded his potential to me. I have, whatever Esav could have been as the Bechor, he gave it to me for a bowl of soup. And I can say with a straight face now, I'm not only Yaakov. He's not saying, he didn't say I'm only Esav. I'm Esav and I'm Yaakov. I'm the combination of the two. Right? And that's what this Gemara in Chagiga is saying. That the tzaddik is able to take the chelek, the possibility, the potential of what the Rasha could have been. And that's what it means. Avram Avinu looked at 10 generations before him that were failing to actualize their potential, and Avram was kibel schar kulam. Avram Avinu took the whole thing. He collected the whole thing. Okay. Let's do one more for today. There's a lot more. We're going to do another day tomorrow. Tomorrow morning we'll do another day of Avodas Yisrael in the fifth parak of Avos. But let's do one more for today. Okay? Asara nisyonos nisnasa Avram Avinu. Okay, with 10 tests, Avram Avinu was tested. And of course, Avram Avinu, the greatness of Avram Avinu is that what? He was Omed ben Yisrael and he passed all of his tests. Baruch Hashem. He was able to overcome all of those challenges. Okay, have a listen to this. The number 10 comes up a lot. Hashem created the world with 10 expressions of speech. Avram Avinu was tested with 10 nisyonos. There were 10 makos. There are 10 dibros. What is this idea of 10? Well, the letter that represents 10 is a yud. Right? Yud in Gematria is 10. It's the 10th letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Let's think about the letter yud for a minute. And let's understand why the world was formed with 10 ma'amaros. Why was Avram tested with 10 nisyonos? Why did Hashem first communicate to us the 10 dibros? Why did Hashem take us out of Mitzrayim with the 10 makos? What is the concept of 10? Why is it Davar Shebekedusha, a minion 10? And what is the letter Yud all about? And then we'll see, because Yisr Magid goes through many letters of the Hebrew alphabet, and don't forget this is really, really remarkable. He's going to explain to us the lesson behind each of the letters. Okay, so take a look. Listen to this. Asar nisyonos nisnasa Avram Avinu alav shalom. Avram was tested with 10 tests and he passed all 10. Asar nisyonos vasara mamaros remez lehayud. Remez lehayud. The 10 tests, the 10 utterances, declarations of speech with Hashem created the world, they all are merames. 10 is the letter yud. V'romez shesarech liestakil tamid b'shifluso. And when a person thinks how Hashem, in his humility, created the world, God doesn't need us. Hashem created the world with 10 to remind us of the letter Yud. Hashem tested Avram with 10 to remind us of the letter Yud. What is the letter Yud? The letter Yud reminds us of humility, because the letter Yud is nothing other than a tiny, tiny drop of ink. It doesn't have any form. It's not like, you know, an Aleph. It's not like a pei or a beis, not like a kuf or a hey. It's a simply, you take your quill with a drop of ink and you touch it to a piece of paper. That first little dot, that little nekuda, is called the yud. He explains, V'lezeh gam kein biyud ma'amaros romez la'os yud. Nekuda ze'era sheba'osios. The smallest nekuda, the smallest drop, the smallest bit of the letters. Romez gam ken ala adam shetzarech liestakil tamid b'shifluso. When you think about your life, when you think about your creation, basara ma'amaros nivra ha'olam, think about it from a place of humility. As Ozzy was saying to me yesterday about, right, his trip to the, I don't know if it was to us or to me, I don't know if he said it during share or after share, about his trip to the Grand Canyon, and just how humbling it is when you see the grandeur of Hashem's world. You just see the physical, you know, size of some of Hashem's creations, and you're just, it literally takes your breath away. You feel so small. But that's good. Start your quest for a meaningful life from a place of humility. And when you have nisyonos, approach them with humility. Don't immediately attack Hashem and say, God, how could you do this? What are you doing? Right? Remind yourself how small you are. Approach the nisyonos of the world, asara nisyonos, the 10 tests. Approach it from a place of humility, like the letter yud, that smallest drop of ink, that a person needs to look at his humbleness, his humility, his smallness constantly. V'yevigeder hachna mamish, and he should be in a state of what? Of absolute submission to Hashem. Who am I? I'm nothing compared to other human beings, all the more so compared to the creator of the universe, right? I can't compare myself. I'm so limited. Compare myself to just, an animal in the wild has certain kochos that I as a human being don't have. Right? And there are people who are much smarter than me. People who are much more, you know, accomplished than me. So all the more so when I just keep zooming out and I think about, well, so what does that mean in comparison to God himself? Atchikama'at lo yargish be'ichuso, to the point that a person doesn't even recognize his what? His value. Uma masho, and his existence, his substance. He feels that he's a nothing. Now, we'll see tomorrow, we're going to learn a piece where he emphasizes how important it is that when we daven, we think about how great we are. But on a certain level, that balance of godless ha'adam and shiftless ha'adam have to work side by side. So on a certain level, if I want to be able to rise to the challenge of life, I have to approach the world with humility, with bittul to Hashem. Against my will I was born, against my will I'm going to die, like it says in Pirkei Avos, in the fourth parak. We're here, we're thrown into the game, we have to play it with respect for the coach. Right? If the coach puts you in and he draws up a play, and you decide to change the play without coach's permission, right? That's risky business. Coach is going to pull you out of the game. You have to trust the coach, that he knows what he's doing. And to think to myself, I'm just this tiny little creature in the world. To really contemplate how small I am compared to Hashem. Again, it's not to be depressed, God forbid, but it's to be able to embrace my mission in this world. Look how Hashem put into me all of his koach, all of my movements, the life, the breath of life within me. It's all from Hashem. V'lulei ezraso yizbarach shemo. And without HaKadosh Baruch Hu causing my heart to be beating at every moment and putting the breath, literally the breath into my nostrils, then what would I be? Where would I be? Without that help from Hashem yizbarach shemo, shachna duma nafsho. I would cease to exist. And therefore, I start to think about the letter Yud. Now listen to this. This is really amazing. Look how he concludes the piece. V'achshov she'eino kiyam nekuda za'eira d'musyur. I start off by saying, Hashem, I'm just a little drop of ink. Right? The truth is, everyone started off. How did you start off? As a little drop of seed that fertilized an egg, which then grew and grew and grew. So I'm just a little drop. I'm that little Yud. U'mitzido einenu kedai la'avodas Hashem Yisbarach im lo michastu Yisbarach Shemo. And really, in terms of myself, I'm not worthy of serving you, Hashem, if not for your kindness that you invite me to serve you. And by the way, we'll learn tomorrow. Once you have that invitation from Hashem to serve him, we go strong. We throw ourselves into it. Right? But my starting point is, without the invitation, Hashem, I couldn't open my mouth. I couldn't learn your Torah. I couldn't do your mitzvos. I'm that little drop, that little dot of ink that would be defined as a yud. V'gam romez. But then what happens? It hints to us, it reveals to us, kamo shehayahi nekuda achas bifnei atzma. And yet, from that little drop of ink, I can begin to form any letter. V'yecholin lasos kol osios mimena. Once I've acknowledged that first drop, then I could take my pen and start to draw. Then I could start to write an aleph or a bez or a gimel or a dalet or a hey. But when I first touch down on the paper, it's a yud, which means my starting point is shiflus. Moshe kibel Torah misinai. Moshe is humility. Torah is humility. Chevra, if you don't approach the whole experience of being alive with humility, you're going to be doomed. You're not going to be an Eved Hashem. But if you could start with that drop of yud, a yud, if you start with that humility and that bittul to Hashem, that humility and that submissiveness to Hashem, then you're given permission to start drawing letters. And Chevra, listen to how he explains to us the first, 10 or 11 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Listen to this. Look what he says. He says, once I've accepted again that humility, I begin to make whatever letter I want. I can turn it into any letter that I so desire. Okay, so let's draw some letters. Let's make some letters. I remind myself along the way that it's still, every step is in the hands of Hashem. And whatever I do, it's Hashem doing it through me. But I can at least now, I can begin to become a something. And again, I let Hashem be the one who is guiding. I'm just the ink. I'm that little drop of ink. And Hashem says, when I see that you have the humility to be that little drop of ink, then Hashem starts to give me a mission. Hashem starts to draw me out. Right? Literally to draw, to, right? But to bring out, to draw out. Hashem draws out who we are. Listen to what he does. Im ya'asena aleph. If Hashem wants you to be an aleph, again, you accept whatever letter you're given. If Hashem wants you to be an aleph, what does that mean? Yehage b'toras Hashem yomam v'layla. It means you should study Torah day and night, like an aleph. Yeh dugmas ha'aleph. Aleph means aluf, right? A chief, a master, a gadol. Aleph means also to learn, to study. So aleph is like what? Sha'ator nishpas lo mimaro, biyud el yona, v'hu avav ha'mekabel osa, u'mashpia u'malamid la'acherim biyud ha'tachtona. How do you make an aleph, chevra? It's a yud on top, it's a vav, and then it's a yud on the bottom. The yud on top represents a hashpa from above. The vav is that line, that channel, which is mekabel, and then the yud on the bottom is you channeling it out to someone else. So become a rebbe. Receive from Hashem, bring it down, and teach it to others. Aleph. Aleph literally means to be a chief, to be a teacher, to be someone who learns and teaches. Maybe that's your avoda in this world. Maybe Hashem wants you to be a beis. V'im ya'aseyu beis. If Hashem wants you to be a beis, what is beis? How would you write out the word beis? Bais, right? Bet yod tuf. Beis b'milua is rashi tevos. Beis yod tuf is what? Bechol yom tamid. What does that mean? Yasmid ba'avodaso tamid. That means be a type of person who's what? Who's b'chol yom tamid, whose beis maybe represents, the ability to have consistency. I don't just do something for one day, but I do it again. Right? Beis is the concept of a second day, again and again and again. Consistency. V'im ya'aseyu gimel, if Hashem makes you a gimel, yehei gomel dalim. Be the type of person who performs acts of what? Of chesed. V'im ya'aseyu dalid, if Hashem makes you a dalid, so be a person who what? Who lives a life of anava. Dal means humility. V'dalei ruach. Be a humble person. V'im yaseyu hei. If Hashem makes you a hei, then maybe halach ma'anya, I'm not sure exactly, let's see what that means. Romez, she'ay overas Hashem Yisbarach, ba'amitas mitzi'uso v'achduso hagamar, ha'mamalikol almin. Then serve Hashem again, like one who understands that Hashem's oneness fills the whole world. V'leis asar panoi minei, and no place is devoid of Him. V'yuchal la'alos, and in that way, you're able to ascend l'mala derech kol ha'olamos. Right? Maybe that has something to do with the shape of the letter hey, I'm not sure. Uliyachir osam yachad biyichud gamer bekesher echad ada in sof baruchu. Okay. Dugmas os vav sheola b'shava mitata le'ela. Right. Maybe you'll have a shaychus to the world of vav. The vav is a straight line, top to bottom. Maybe there's some type of link, right, between above and below. V'hainu sheim yaseu vav kmo vavei amudim, like a pillar which stands erect. He had dveikas hagamor, be a person who is directly connected to Hashem. She had tamid davuk v'kasher b'kesher chazak v'amitz be'insof baruchu. Be a type of person who is always strongly connected to Hashem, like that line that can never be severed, connecting you to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'im yaseyu zayin, if Hashem makes you a zayin, what's a zayin? Zayin's a weapon, like clay zayin. Yehei mimari notzchin kravin neged oivav, be like a fierce warrior who's able to what? To win the battles against his enemy. Lizamer aritzim, to chop down the oppressors. Ulahachris kol achoichim v'akoitzim, to rip up the thorns that surround the Shoshana Elyona, the beautiful rose. Shoshana Elyona, lamakum shiheish sham ruach lelechas sham yelich. Right? To give space for the beautiful, you know, fruits of Hashem's garden to grow. Okay? And he doesn't go on with the rest of the letters. He does go on a little bit more in the piece. But again, the idea of what? The idea of starting from a place of humility and letting Hashem mold you. And taking on your mission in this world. And understanding that Avram's 10 tests means, and he passed the test, he was omeid b'kulam, because he started with that yud. It's Avram's humility, it's Moshe Rabbeinu's humility, it's all the tzaddikim throughout history who understood that if I have humility and bittul to Hashem, then I can start to be made into a something. Okay? Alright, so let's stop here for today. Some very, very fundamental ideas. But let's stop here for today. Mirtz Hashem, we'll pick up a little bit more with the fifth parak tomorrow, and I think we're not going to have a